And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
How's it going, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. We're looking at mailbag questions, fantasy rankings, and we got a great guest for you today. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. Of course, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Time flies when you're having fun into month number three of the fantasy season. You mentioned the special guest that's coming up, and we're happy to have Anna Dulo on the podcast today. Anna, so much happening right now in the fantasy world. What's going on?
Tons of stuff happening in the fantasy world, and we'll get to our special guests later, but it's Mike White. You're talking about flying. He's the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, and he was just so much fun to talk to. Pete and I talked to him a little bit earlier this week. Big hockey guy. It's officially confirmed. Loves fantasy hockey, loves the sport.
Yeah, he's playing fantasy for the first time of his life, and he's loving every minute of it. And of course, he's been a great story across the NFL this season, unseating Zach Wilson, former, you know, number two pick in his draft. He's outworked him, earned himself a starting job, and had an incredible performance last Sunday. So we'll get to all that in just a bit. For fantasy hockey purposes, some unfortunate news that Chris Letang suffered a stroke and is going to be out indefinitely. He's had health issues before. We wish him all the best. One of the best players in the NHL over the past decade and a really good guy. So our thoughts and prayers are with Chris Letang right now.
Very well said. A very scary situation. And of course, the second time this has happened in the last 10 years. So first and foremost, we care about the person, the player, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, certainly. And, yeah. You know, unfortunately, from a fantasy perspective, we have to take a look at that as well. I think the obvious name in Pittsburgh is Jeff Petrie, right, Anna?
It is. And wishing Chris Letang a very fast recovery. It was good to hear that he didn't have a lot of symptoms after the stroke. So hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. But Jeff Petrie is the name. He's been putting up shots night after night. So that's something to look forward to. Hasn't been getting on the score sheet, but has consistently been creating some sort of opportunity, maybe with a better lineup position. He's a player to look at.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins are so resilient through the years from a future standpoint. It's not like you want to totally dismiss them now. Again, we hope that Chris Letang comes back at some point if he's healthy enough to do so. If not, we wish him all the best. But of course, The Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. They've gone on a cup run without Chris Letang. That one year he was injured, right? And they powered through it. They still have a lot of good things headed their way. But I know one guy, Nick, that you've been on a little bit that needs to step up fantasy-wise is Brian Rust. So I wanted to get your thoughts on whether you should be patient with him because his role is going to increase, Petrie's role is going to increase, and that team really just needs to take the next step around him to rally around Chris Letang.
In general, Pete, with my Keeper League team, I'm at wit's end, man. I have no clue what to do. I thought I had a really, really good draft, but sadly, I have Victor Hedman, Andre Vasilevsky. I tried to swing a deal. I got Brian Rust. He's been a massive disappointment. Like my entire roster has been a massive disappointment, save for maybe like a Jack Hughes and a couple players like that. But yeah, like, you know, Rust is so intriguing on so many levels because he's been sort of the model of consistency in terms of production the last couple of years. And then you move forward to this season, every game it's like -3, -4 with no points. And he's really, really struggling to generate offense. But I think over time that will come. In fact, I think maybe it's still a pretty good buy low opportunity. But if this keeps up, I'm going to have to dip out, certainly on Brian Rust. But I think when you look at Pittsburgh in general, it seems like they're taking on the same themes and trends from last season. Remember, it was like win streak, losing streak. They're doing it again this season, Anna.
That's what they've always done, to be honest. But as Pete said earlier, they have the players to really go on those winning runs, even with the absence of Chris Letang. And I just want to quickly touch on, even though Brian Rust has been a bit disappointing, Rickard Rakell is a player who's kind of sticking out to me just because, once again, he's not really getting on the score sheet too much, but he had 6 shots in that game against Toronto, 3 shots against Carolina. He's putting up shots on net too. I'm sure he's going to go on a little bit of a hot streak anytime soon. And have to mention Sidney Crosby right now. I mean, he's hit the 30-point mark again, 31 points in 23. Games. We always talk about whether he's slowing down, but it seems that he's always been a consistently top 10 player in fantasy, and he's just proving that again this year. He's not aging at all.
We'll tell you something. If this team is going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs again, they're going to need guys like Crosby to elevate, especially losing Chris Letang, who I think you look at his production, you look at his value and worth to that organization, that's going to be a big time loss. But along those lines, that's part of the reason why they brought Jeff Petrie in, is for some insulation on the back end. So certainly I think the name to look for in terms of in-house replacements. on Chris Letang. Externally in general, Pete, I wanted to touch on the Seattle Kraken. And I think ironically enough, like one defenseman I would look at to pick up is a former Pittsburgh Penguin. And that's Justin Schultz, who we've talked about quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, certainly with the waiver wire shows, but a 6-game point streak, 2 goals, 8 assists, 10 points and 4 power play points. I know he's on PP2, but that's another guy, Pete, I would look at here.
That team has been rolling 2 strong power play units from the drop of the puck at the start of the season. And Vince Dunn is doing a nice job on the other unit. So yeah, either of those guys would be great outside replacement options for Chris Letang. You know, looking back at Pittsburgh, if it's not going to be Petrie, it might be Marcus Pettersson. He's got 10 assists in 23 games this season. Maybe could take on more of a power play role. There's also Pierre-Olivier Joseph, who has shown some flashes in the past, but has been kind of buried in the AHL. Maybe that's a guy that takes on a bigger role in addition to Pettersson. And then also, I know we talked about on the network the other day, Anna, Rasmus Sandin. He didn't have a point in the win against the Sharks yesterday, but he did have a multi-point game earlier in the week. So you got to like that upside for Toronto.
You do, and it's all about line of position. When these injuries happen with these big name defensemen, you have to see who's filling their spot, which is why I really like Sandin for Toronto. But quickly just shifting back over to the Kraken, because Nick teed us up right there. There's so much fantasy value in this team, and a lot of these players are not heavily rostered in leagues. And I'm taking a look specifically right now at Matty Beniers. For me, he's really making a case for the Calder. He's on a 5-game point streak, 11 points in that span. He had 4 points in that crazy game against the Los Angeles Kings a couple of days ago. He's just rocking and rolling. Can he keep this up, Nick?
So this is exactly what I wanted to get to in general. And I like that you brought up Seattle from an offensive standpoint. I crunched the numbers, 10-1-1 in the month of November, 51 goals. Now, granted, it helps when you score 9 against the Los Angeles Kings. And I'm sure we'll get to Cal Pearson in mere moments here. But Beniers is a guy I'm looking at, a 5-game point streak, 4 goals, 7 assists, 11 points. You mentioned his ownership. He's steadily available in most formats right now. So I would definitely have a sniff there because I do think he's going to win the Calder. Andre Burakovsky's around 55% owned right now. Last 12 games for him, 6 goals, 9 assists and 15 points in 12 in the month of November. And Jordan Eberle, Pete, is another guy. Last 9 games, 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points. It really is a role reversal. You know, I was thinking yesterday, is this not year two for Seattle, what Vegas did in the first season? Where I actually think they're for real. I think they're going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, Pete.
Time will tell if they can sustain this. They certainly look, and maybe they're being overshadowed a little bit by the New Jersey Devils and just the ridiculous dominance that that team has put forth. I mean, they beat the New York Rangers the other day. The Devils have been the talk of the league. I feel like nobody's even really talking about the Seattle Kraken. They play the late games on the West Coast, but they've been an outstanding story for the sport of hockey. And, you know, like we've seen in MLS, we saw so many teams kind of make immediate impacts, expansion teams. The same thing's happening in hockey where you have, of course, the Golden Knights and their string of playoff appearances prior to last year. And then the Kraken are, you know, joining the party right here and now.
And just want to add to a player we haven't mentioned from the Seattle Kraken just yet, Oliver Bjorkstrand. So Andre Burakovsky currently leads the Kraken in points. He has 23 points, 9 goals this season, and he has 60 shots. Bjorkstrand also has 60 shots. He just isn't finding the back of the net quite yet. He has 3 goals this season. So I see a huge upswing in production for him. It's just a matter of time. If he's available to pick up, I think that's another player I would want to grab right now.
And lastly, I'll just throw in too, we're heavy on the Kraken content today, but rightfully so, coming off a monster run. Martin Jones, I wonder if the clock has struck midnight for him. Unbelievably to me, he lets 8-4-5 in the last 3 and he wins. He's won 5 consecutive games, but we know Philip Grubauer is back. So I'm probably starting to look at some sells here maybe. I think maybe down the line, you're probably going to drop this guy, Pete.
I mean, you might, but he's going to get so much goal support. And I was just looking, there are 12 players on the Kraken, 12 skaters that are in double digits in points. That's really impressive when you're only, 22 games into the young season. So some of those names that maybe people wouldn't realize at the surface that they're scoring this well, Jared McCann, Jaden Schwartz, Daniel Sprong, 13 points in 15 games, Alexander Wennberg. Right. I mean, Brandon Tanev covering the categories. It's crazy that's really impressive. That type of scoring depth. I don't know that any team in the league has that much scoring depth right now.
Yeah, you're bang on that front. And certainly as somebody who buried the Kraken last season, I'm all over them this time around. It's been an impeccable story. And speaking of which, Josh Morrissey, is this guy the real deal? And he was on the Chirp of course, with Darren and company. So, I mean, you got to check that out as well. But I think we're looking at a breakout season. 27 years of age, currently a top five fantasy defenseman, 21 games, 5 goals, 20 assists, 25 points, plus 8. Is this the Rick Bowness effect, Anna?
It just might be, and I agree with you. Josh Morrissey is a player that I'm absolutely looking at right now. He would have been on a crazy point streak if it wasn't for just that one game against Pittsburgh a while back. It would have been like 12 games at this point. And he's a player I look at every single day for daily fantasy as well, because he's guaranteed to produce right now. There's not a single game that goes by where he isn't doing something on the ice. He has so many multi-point games too. He's a part of almost all of the Winnipeg Jets' offense right now. And a breakout season, I think it's confirmed at this point.
I mean, raise your hand if you had Josh Morrissey across North America leading the Winnipeg Jets in points, including their forwards. Crickets out there. Nobody had that. It's pretty insane.
For me, this is just like the Darnell Nurse season all over again. When I look at Morrissey, not to think that this is not sustainable, but I think he's having one of those epic years and nothing's going to stop him. And it seems like every time he touches the puck, somebody's getting a point or he's getting a goal, and they got to ride with this. Certainly, I think you look at Winnipeg, Pete, I could never have forecasted this. I know it's been a tough 24 hours or so for your Danes, but to not have Nikolaj Ehlers for all but, you know, 2 games, to have this type of record, Rick Bowness, I know I picked him to win the Jack Adams. I'm feeling pretty damn good about that right now.
So, guys, we're talking Jets today. We're talking power play quarterbacks. Let's talk to the New York Jets NFL quarterback, the starter as of last weekend, Mike White. Really appreciative that he joined us. He's actually a big fantasy hockey fan. He slides into the DMs all the time. He's really passionate about hockey across the league. Here's our talk with Mike White. Mike, we know you're a huge Florida Panthers and NHL fan. You're playing fantasy hockey these days. What's better than this collaboration, man? Great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love to talk some puck.
And Mike, we'll get to the pucks in just a moment, but we got to start with what went down on Sunday, MetLife Stadium, and your 3-touchdown performance for the New York Jets in the cold and rain with all the fan support that came with it. What were the emotions like with such an epic performance?
No, it was fun. Anytime you get to go out there and play football with all your guys in the locker room, it's always fun. And winning in the rain is definitely makes it more fun. Losing in the rain is not fun. So the fact that we were winning made the rain bearable.
Let's talk about New York in particular. New York City is one of the, if not the greatest sports city in the entire world. The hockey teams over here always face a ton of pressure. What was it like playing in that big game for the Jets? Did you feel that New York City vibe?
Yeah, it was cool. I remember my first experience with like big time New York sports is the Islanders playoff run 2 playoffs ago. One of our linemen at the time, Greg Van Roten, huge, huge Islanders fan, grew up in Long Island. And we went to some of those playoff games in the old stadium. And when they would sing the national anthem without any music and just the constant cheering and just the atmosphere, just pre and post game and stuff like that. It's just, like you said, like New York sports is, that's what makes this market, the Big Apple, everything so cool. And I went to a couple of Rangers playoff games last year, same thing. And I'm sure I got to make it to a Devils game this year because they're on fire right now. And it's, New York sports is fun.
So, Mike, I know it's your first year playing fantasy hockey. We love to see it. But you're from down in Florida before you joined, of course, the NFL and the Jets. And you were drafted by the Cowboys. You went to Western Kentucky. But tell us about how you got into hockey, because the Florida Panthers, I know, have really charged up the NHL standings the past 2 or 3 seasons. But it sounds like you've been involved in watching this team in the arena for years now.
Yeah, so we would go to games a lot when I was younger, and I always liked just the live action, just the fast pace of it, and there's really no breaks. And I didn't understand a whole lot of it because I didn't grow up playing hockey. And then I feel like I got really more into it the past, I would say, 7-8 years. One of my best friends, Josh Appel, huge, huge Panthers fan. So he was the one that kind of brought me along with him and started to kind of teach me the in and outs and the nuances of the game. And then it just, the fact that we've had so much success lately just made it that much more fun. And I don't know, just something about the being, I don't know a whole lot about the hockey world and the hockey game at the time. And so everything just really interested me. And now listening to hockey podcasts and and just watch games. Like even if the Panthers weren't playing, I would just watch a random, whatever the ESPN game that was that night was, or when TNT started broadcasting it. And it just, I don't know, I just kind of became enthralled with it.
Talking about the Panthers, this past offseason was one of the biggest off seasons in the NHL, and Florida was right at the forefront with the Matthew Tkachuk, Jonathan Huberdeau trade. Do you have any thoughts about that? Are you happy with that?
So at the time, like I said, like I'm still, I don't want to call myself an expert fan by any means, but I feel like I'm starting to learn more. But I'm texting all my Panthers friends in the group chat. I'm like I just watched Huberdeau score over 100 points, and then we just trade him. I'm like, is this good? Is this bad? Like what's going on? I'm kind of freaking out. And then they explained it to me, and no, I like it. I think Tkachuk is, and he's showing it this time. What I like about it is he seems to bring kind of like that nastiness to him. You know, he's not afraid to get in a scrap and play that kind of physical game of it. And he's super skilled. I mean, he's scoring goals, assists, like he's doing well. But yeah, at the time I was like, wait a minute, we just traded like Huberdeau. Like Huberdeau just had one of the best seasons in Florida Panthers history. And then we traded him. But I mean, Bill Zito's done a really good job. So who am I to question him? And I thought, I guess, yeah, here we go. Let's go Tkachuk.
Tkachuk's been their best player so far this year. It's been really impressive to watch him. And Mike, being a football player, do you kind of gravitate toward watching those kind of nasty physical players like Tkachuk, like Brady Tkachuk, his brother, like Brad Marchand? Like, are these, right, you know, the type of players that you appreciate, especially given your toughness and, you know, your patience in the league? I feel like you'd probably appreciate more than most people players of that ilk.
Right. I just think the sport of hockey in general is just so, it looks so hard. Just the things that they do, the physicality of it, getting hit, like checking up on the boards, and then the skill to the hand-eye coordination to take some of these passes and shots. And then on top of it, they're just doing it on skates. Like I can't even go to the local skating rink and skate, let alone worry about these people coming to try to take my head off while I'm trying to control the puck and pass it and things of that nature. But no, I definitely the physicality of it, you do have to respect, because like I said, you're doing it with probably minimal padding than what we have. Like their helmets definitely not as protective as our helmets. Their pads aren't as big and protective as our pads. And we get to land on grass and they're landing on ice. So it's super impressive, super fun to watch. And like I said, I love watching the game.
So as a Florida boy, are you the only one who's representing hockey in the locker room, or are there any of your teammates who also like the sport?
So they do like the sport, and it helps that 2 years ago the Islanders went on that run, and last year the Rangers went on that run, and those are two close teams. So that a lot of guys have gone to the playoff games. And I just, like I said, I think especially as an athlete, you can appreciate other sports and how hard they are. And then when you go and watch it in person, and you see how fast paced it is and how there's constant action. And I'll go on record, there's nothing like playoff hockey. Just the atmosphere that you're always on the edge of your seat, you're following the puck. There's so much action going on. And when the guys went to the game and kind of saw what I was talking about, they all got on board.
So you've been kind of communicating with me for a while. You like taking my advice. I love you as a football player, man. You really stepped up to the plate and delivered the other day. It was so fun to watch. But a couple times you've been chatting with me, I know that you were really impressed in the playoffs last year, especially that one Nick Paul goal for the Lightning. I know they're your rival team. I know there are big rivalries in the NFL with the Jets, the Patriots, the Bills, the Dolphins within the division. What's your level of appreciation for the budding rivalry down in Florida between the Lightning and the Panthers, and your appreciation for the greatness of the Tampa Bay Lightning? I know it's frustrating tough to watch, no doubt, especially after the sweep last year, but your thoughts on the Lightning greatness?
So just to put more salt in the wound, my wife is born and raised in Tampa. So she's a Lightning fan. So that's another rivalry in our house. And with our nice 1-year-old twin, she's like telling them all like, oh, I'm going to raise you to be a Lightning fan. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. But no. And it is, it's what the Lightning do. Like when you take the rivalry out of it, what the Lightning have done and continue to do, and like the continued success is impressive. And what I think is cool too is when you think of hockey, you don't think of the state of Florida. You think of obviously the Canadian teams and like the Bruins, the Islanders, like the colder states. And then last year, especially once two of the best teams being in Florida, I thought as a Florida boy, it was pretty cool. And it helped kind of grow the game down there, because like the Panthers were selling games out, and Tampa too has been selling games out for a while because they're so good. It just brings awareness to the sport, which I thought was pretty cool.
So shifting over to your fantasy team specifically, who's your MVP so far this season? The one player that's been carrying you to wins week after week?
Oh, without question, Jack Hughes. I mean, he's been on fire. It's every time I look at I'll get out of practice or I'll get done with watching film for the night and I'll check the scores. It's like Jack Hughes, one goal, one assist, two goals and assist. The other night he had a hat trick, which helped. We were projected to lose, and then Jack Hughes took over, had a nice little hat trick, and we won. But Jack Hughes has been nice, and also I'm obviously a big Florida fan, so I've got Ekblad, I've got Verhage, who's been playing really well.
Nice.
Got Forsling, who's been solid for us. But yeah, I just think we don't have any quote splash name guys, but I just think we have so many good, like just consistent players, and I think that's what's helped us. I don't want to brag at all, but we're undefeated. We're 7-0. So and don't tell too many people, Pete, that I text you, because I got all the guys in the league thinking it's all me.
Always happy to help out a fellow fantasy hockey player, especially when it's, by the way, the quarterback of my favorite NFL team. So, Mike, when you were backing up Joe Flacco or Zach Wilson earlier in the season before you made your first start of the season this past week, what was that process like? You had to be patient, obviously, but meanwhile, you're charging up this hot start for your fantasy hockey team. Did that really keep your competitive juices flowing a little bit, man?
Yeah, it does definitely keeps your competitive juices flowing. But no, I think as a backup, anytime you're a backup in any sport, it's all about your preparation and your mindset, because especially in football where so many different things can happen and there's injuries and all that good stuff, like you need to be ready, because the moment your time does come, you got to be able to seize it, and you get it. If you're not prepared, that moment can pass you by, and you'll be living with regrets and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's funny you say that too about the fantasy hockey, because a lot of guys on the team have fantasy football teams, and they'll be like checking their scores on Sunday, and I'm the one checking my fantasy hockey scores on Sunday. I'm like, everyone will look at me like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't want to talk about it right now." But no. It's fun. It's a lot. It's my first year doing it, and I'm hooked.
So you're winning in your fantasy hockey league, and you're winning on the field. It's a great, great year for Mike White right now. And you mentioned Jack Hughes on your team. My fantasy hockey team's name this year was actually Hughes Clues. So I'm asking you a very important question right now. What's your fantasy hockey team name?
Okay, this is a good story. So if you've ever been down to the Panthers Arena, Florida Live Arena, it's in Sunrise, Florida. And right next to it is a big mall called Sawgrass Mills Mall. Like we would go there all the time as a kid, like kids. So we always joke that whenever the Panthers win the cup, the parade is going to start at Sawgrass Mills Mall. So our team name is See You at Sawgrass.
I like it.
Excellent.
And it's the Panthers. They posted it maybe 2 years ago. It's like some kid drew like their logo, and the Panthers tweeted out because it looked pretty good. So that's our logo too. It's the Florida Panthers logo.
That's sick. Very creative. We love it. So, you know, looking ahead to the rest of the hockey season, I think we've all been a little disappointed by the Panthers playoff performances. But what have you seen from this group, especially early on this season? How much do you get to watch hockey, first off, is my question. But what have you seen from the Panthers that makes you think this year could be a little different than the past two, when their season ended in disappointment at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Right. I do think I don't get to watch too much. I feel like lately the times I have been able to watch, they're on these West Coast trips, and every game starts at 10, and I'm just passed out by then. I'm just an old man at this point with two kids. But yeah, the playoffs, that's what I do think Kachuk can bring, is that nastiness needed in the playoffs, that physicality that I don't know if we've had, especially me watching personally. I could be dead wrong, but it just felt like we kind of would get a little a little bullied when we would play the Lightning, and they would be a little more physical. And we were more of a finesse team. We were scoring goals like crazy. We were super fun to watch. And it just felt like the Lightning knew that. And they knew that if they played kind of tighter defense and behind, like, obviously they have one of the best goalies in the world in Vasilevskiy. So that always helps. But I just feel like maybe Tkachuk can bring that more physicality, that nastiness needed in the playoffs. And hopefully that'll give us that push past the Lightning.
So I'm from Toronto, and when I moved down to New York, I feel like I get sucked into this New York sports bubble. So other than the Panthers, is there a hockey team that you've kind of joined the wagon on? Maybe the New Jersey Devils right down the road from MetLife?
See, that's I need to go watch a Devils game. One of our equipment managers, Armando, today, he's a huge, huge Devils fan. He works there in the offseason sometimes. So he's been trying to get me to a game, and so I'm gonna have to get over there at some point, especially now, because they're fun to watch. They're rolling.
Well, you got to wear the Jack Hughes jersey whenever you do get out to Prudential Center. It is a good time. I know it's been raucous environment so far this year, especially during their winning streak. But Mike, we really appreciate you hopping on today. Hope to see you at All-Star Weekend, potentially. Let us know if you're going to be there. I know first things first, your job is to get the Jets to the Super Bowl, but if that doesn't happen, you got big festivities in Florida right early February, so we're excited about that.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be there. My buddy Josh, the big Panthers fan, we're having his bachelor party down there for All-Star Weekend, so I will be there in my Tkachuk retro jersey repping.
Sick, man. Powder blue. Thanks so much for joining us. Mike White, Jets starting quarterback. He's the man.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Pete, that was awesome. It was great to be able to talk to Mike White after that game he had last weekend, and he has a couple of big games coming up. I know you're a huge Jets fan, so it must have been a really special moment.
Absolutely. It was a blast. And it's funny, his coach, Robert Sala, earlier in the week after his performance said he made the easy look easy. I thought he made the difficult look easy by playing so efficient football in the rain. And then also what he said, he started 7-0 in fantasy hockey, Nick. I mean, can you believe that? That's crazy for a player in a different sport. And Nick, I know you're a big crossover sport guy. You love to see that type of stuff in the sporting world.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's having a better season than I am with my Keeper League team. But a Florida Panthers fan, as you referenced, we got a question from a fan, Sam Reinhardt or Bo Horvat, rest of season. And I will start with this. I love my contract year, so obviously I'm going with Bo Horvat. How about you?
I'm right there with you, Nick. I think we've reached the point in this season where we can no longer discount Bo Horvat. He's just two goals behind the scoring lead in the NHL right now. Vancouver seems to have found something going. They're going to vie for our last playoff spot out there in the West, and they're getting a lot of action from all fronts of their offense, and Bo Horvat is leading the charge.
I'll differ here on you guys. I'll stick with Mike White. I'll go with Sam Reinhardt. And I actually think his line mate, Anton Lindell, is one of the better pickups across the league right now, because he did so well, and Reinhardt did as well last year on the third line. And now they've been bumped up to the second line, still playing together, starting to have that continuity after some lineup shuffling earlier in the season. So Reinhardt has bounced back. Lindell's playing in a bigger spot. And I think both of those guys could deliver a point per game apiece on the same line for the rest of the season. Maybe a little bold prediction right there.
I like that, Pete. I promise this next one's not a burner account of yours truly, but the person asked, Hronik or Seider for the rest of the year. So I'm going to throw it to you first, because you know my feelings on sophomore season, Mo Seider.
Yeah, I think that Hronik has been so impressive. It's been a player that I've kind of tailed for years and hoped that he would have performed better than he did over the past couple of seasons. Great to see him breaking out, but I got to stick with my instincts and say Seider in the second half of this season, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, he's really going to turn it up. I think the Red Wings, especially if they get Jacob Vrana back at some point, have another gear to reach across the lineup. So I will say I would actually sell high on Filip Hronek as much as I love him, and I would buy low on Mo Seider just because this is an amazing opportunity to do so.
I agree with Pete right there. It's tough for me to say, though, because if you listened to us earlier this season and picked up Hronek off the waiver wire, I'm sure you're happy as a clam right now. But I think Mo Seider just has such high upside. He's a great category coverage player. And, you know, 2023 is going to be his year. 2022, it was his year early on, not so much in the latter half, but things are going to turn around once the calendar year changes.
A shameless plug, Leafs Morning Take on Thursday. Matt Luff for the Detroit Red Wings will be a guest on that show. If you do remember, it took a nasty hit from Juraj Slafkovský earlier in the year, and we will cover that. Do not worry. Moving on here on the mailbag, a lot of questions still about the Calgary Flames, guys. And Anna, we can start with you. Just Jonathan Huberdeau, Elias Lindholm, across the board, it's been a really, really sluggish start. If you do remember to our YouTube fantasy draft special in September, I sort of hinted at a bit of regression from Nazem Kadri, and sadly it's happening right now after a monster start.
It seems like regression is happening across the board for a lot of players for the Calgary Flames, who had phenomenal years last year. Elias Lindholm, Kadri, Jonathan Huberdeau really not making the mark that the Flames expected him to make. But I want to be positive on this episode. You know, it's like the holiday season's right around the corner. So what about Rasmus Anderson? He's a player who's really stood out to me so far for the Calgary Flames. He's actually tied for their lead in points. How many defensemen can we say on this show or on these teams with elite players on their offense leading them in points? But Rasmus Anderson joining Josh Morrissey on that list. He's having a great year, kind of overshadowing Mackenzie Weegar, which I know a lot of fans had questions about what to do with Weegar so far for the Flames. So he's a positive light for Calgary. Fantasy owners should be happy with him, but the rest of the team, it's looking rough out there.
Yeah, the shooting percentages should improve over time for that group, but really when you're looking big picture and you see Rasmus Anderson tied with Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli for the points lead on the Flames, yeah. I mean, that is eye-opening. And I guess we'll give Toffoli some credit. He does lead them in shots on goal as well. Quality player who is taking advantage of higher placement in the lineup after they lost not only Matthew Tkachuk, but also Johnny Gaudreau. So that sleeper pick from the preseason is looking damn good for Tyler Toffoli. People are wondering, speaking of guys that have been traded in recent years and guys that could be traded this year, Patrick Kane, what to do with Patrick Kane? The Blackhawks are in a tailspin, Nick. He's not producing up to snuff compared to his career track record. And it's a guy that you know will probably get traded at some point in his contract year. But are you really going to waste your whole fantasy season waiting for this to happen? And it still could take a couple of months. It may never even happen.
Yeah, so this Keeper League team I referenced, I don't know why. I just had him ranked around 35. I took the plunge on Patrick Kane. He's just not really going to be fantasy relevant until he gets the hell out of Chicago, with all due respect to that team. There's just nobody around him. Like, Max Domi, come on. Like, Domi had a good game the other night against Edmonton. But again, it's there's really not much cooking there. You know, personally, I think what I would just do is just wait it out. Like, to your point, I know that's tough, right, to hinge on the last 3 months of the season, but I think it certainly helps, Anna, if like you're in a playoff spot and you have a guy like Patrick Kane. But I think if you're chasing it, I think maybe you look at trading him right now, Anna.
I'm with Pete on this one. I don't think I could spend any more time waiting to figure out what's going to happen with Patrick Kane. And you're talking about who he's surrounded with. I mean, at this point, Max Domi is just 1 point behind him. So it's not even that he's like the forefront best player right now in the entire Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah. He's just not producing. And this year we've seen a lot of wings break out in the NHL. So there are phenomenal options out there on the board that Patrick Kane isn't just so far ahead from the rest of the pack that it's worth waiting for me.
Got a big time question for you guys to wrap. Okay. You ready, Pete? We're going to start with you over there. And after that, okay. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Go ahead, Pete.
I really like what Sean Monahan has done so far this season. Nobody really is talking about him that much. A lot of people dismissed him when he was moved from Calgary, where he was in the bottom six at this point in his career, to Montreal. But he's been playing on first power play all season long so far and chipping in points left and right. So wanted to give a little love to Sean Monahan, who in the later stages of his career, you know, maybe he's past his prime, but he's doing a nice job for the Canadiens in a secondary role.
I'm going with bounce back player Jeff Skinner. He's on a hot streak right now. He has 6 goals, 9 points in his past 5 games. He's a point per game player right now with the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, I'm getting flashbacks of elite Jeff Skinner this year. I keep saying this about so many players, but he's got to be my delivery of the week.
We love the attachment to Tage Thompson as well. Mine's going to be Blake Wheeler, the former captain of the Winnipeg Jets. Of course, he was stripped of his captaincy, but my word, he's been outstanding lately. The last 3 games, 3 goals, 5 assists, 8 points, +6, 2 power play points, 1 game-winning goal. I crunched the numbers. He's back on pace for 27 goals and 78 points. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL. Also, hit us up with a reply. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week, Pete?
Yes, and Jeff Skinner wanted to mention he's top five in the entire league in points per 60 at 5-on-5. I tweeted that out the other day. Got a lot of love from Sabres fans. Sabres fans are funny. They're bashing that contract that he makes so much money on 1 minute, and then the next minute they're joking that he's underpaid because he's been so darn good this year for Buffalo.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible how just, you know, the pendulum swings one way or another. But it was a fun episode, guys, and great job in the interview, by the way, Pete.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man. And thanks again to Mike White for joining us ahead of a big matchup against the Minnesota Vikings this week. We'll see what Mike White is made of, but he's got a tough schedule coming up. So we wish him the best of luck against the Vikings and maybe the Bills the following week. So thanks again, Mike White, Anna Dua, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen. We'll talk to you next Monday. NHL Fantasy on Ice presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk to you next time.